Before I start the show, I want to thank Donner Ski Ranch for their support on getting this next series of interviews. Donner's been a part of snowboarding's history since the very beginning, and the owner, Marshall, and his staff are just as cool today as Donner staff have ever been. The Effin' Rad Snowboard Podcast is presented by Skyview Campers, Never Summer's innovative take on the tiny home. Designed and built in beautiful Colorado, check out skyviewcampers.com. Wired Snowboards builds quality snowboards by hand 10 minutes away from my house. Visit wiredsnowboards.com and order one today. Fixed bindings are easy to adjust, long-lasting, high-performance bindings built to have less impact on the environment. Check out fixedbindingco.com. Rip Curl Outerwear, strength, durability, and performance. Designed to search further in the snow, head to ripcurl.com and check out the Anti-Series jacket. I can't wait to rock this thing. New Greens, 100% organic, vibrant green juice. Buy yourself some at newgreens.com and use code EFFINRAD at checkout for 20% off. The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, best selection, best prices. Vancouver's premier snowboard shop. The Boardroom ships to anywhere in North America. So go to boardroomshop.com or visit their stores in Vancouver and North Van. Support also comes from Mount Seymour, Grouse Mountain, Cypress Mountain, the Pro Standard GoPro accessories, and our friends at 1910. You can use code EFFINRAD at checkout for 20% off at 1910.com. The Haven's a center for transformational learning located on beautiful Gabriola Island. Plan a visit at haven.ca and use code EFFINRAD at checkout to save 10% off their Come Alive program. Before I started Effin' Rad, the pro snowboarder I had the most interactions with was this week's guest, Jimmy Scott. I think I first met Jimmy at the opening of the Snowboard Ranch in Bethany, Ontario, which he helped to design. Summer of 95 at the Ice Age House at Timberline, we stayed with Jimmy and a whole cast of characters. And then Jimmy was a staple on Ice Age team trips to Utah and Oregon. Jimmy's a blonde surfer from Southern California and a fierce competitor, but I always knew him to be a kind and humble person and a family man. He didn't get blackout with us on that Utah trip. He was probably the first person I met whose job was snowboarding, and he took it very seriously. I was super stoked to sit down with him last week at the Legends of Tahoe event, where he actually dug pipe while the rest of us rode powder. Here's an interview with the legend, Jimmy Scott. Yeah, once you have kids, that's pretty much it for
kids,
selfishness, right? Like for like selfish endeavors. Yeah, skateboarding, snowboarding, roller skating. When did you? What was the first snowboard that you saw? Like when did you see a board and go like I want to try?
When I was riding for Tracker Trucks and you know vertical roller skating Del Mar, Trans World Snowboarding or Skateboarding put out Trans World Snowboarding.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I saw a snowboard.
It's 87. That would have been.
Yeah, nice. I can't. Dates. Don't hurt me with the date stuff. I can answer questions, but maybe not dates.
Did you see it right away as like, wait, this is another source of revenue kind of thing as like Sluggo or some other skater
I saw it as another source of fun because at the time, vertical roller skating was kind of, you know, even though Fred Blood put it on ABC World, you know, Wide World of Sports.
Yeah.
We were kind of the outcasts.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, but Larry Bama hooked me up. He gave me my, you know, first sponsorship of all sponsorships.
Yeah.
And when I skated and skated and was pin palling with a guy in Europe named Thomas Kalak. Okay. He was a vertical roller skater.
Yeah.
And he worked for Titus. And I said, why don't we have a world championships for vertical roller skating?
Sick.
So he brought it up to Titus, and Titus said, no, let's do a world championships for skating.
Skateboarding and vertical roller skating. Oh, so the original, so this is still, that's early.
Yeah, 86, 87. Yeah. Don't really quote me on the dates.
Yeah.
But of course, I said yes.
Yeah.
Tracker, the best sponsor ever, they said I could work at the factory packaging copers, you know, copers that used to go on the trucks.
I do know them.
To make extra money to go to Europe. And then I still didn't have enough money. So Larry suggested, why don't you ask Madrid to help with the cost? And I was writing for a shop in Arizona because I was doing a lot of demos out there called the Bear Cover.
Wild.
And they made us sweats and filled the gap of the money that we didn't have. Because they sent me and Brian Wainwright, my twin, but he still does it. He's still flying, Brian. I'm so jealous. Too many surgeries. But when we went to Europe, I won. Actually, Brian won.
Yep.
And I got second.
Yeah.
And he, I forget what he got, but he never really got it. But second place was one of the first Burton Airs that was sent out to Europe.
Yeah.
And I won it. And then I did the Swatch Tour skating. And on the back screen, they'd have like times they'd show like video.
Yeah.
And the video that they showed was alternative sports. And that, you know, they're showing, you know, dirt biking and BMX, you know, it's like a 5-minute break so people can get popcorn and stuff. And
yeah,
it was funny because then all of a sudden there's, I think it was Tom Burt, Terry Kidwell, and someone else from the Juicy Fruit commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Craig Kelly was in
it. And I'm, yeah. Yeah, maybe Craig too. Yeah, and I'm standing on the deck with everyone. I'm all, I won one of those last year. I haven't even tried it. I'm going to try it.
I can't believe it. Where's the first place you take it? Because you're from Encinitas, right?
Like, originally Long Beach, California.
Long
and then
Beach,
I moved to Encinitas.
Yeah.
Actually, Del Mar, and then Encinitas now.
Yeah.
But it was really funny because I did a demo at Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah.
You good to go?
Yeah, we're going. Okay. I get panicked.
No worries. Like I said, don't embarrass me too much.
You know what? Owning the roller skate thing is fucking... it's just dope, dude. Like, it's
what it took me around the world.
Yeah.
And it gave me a lot of other gifts. And
yeah,
the coolest thing was I won that snowboard, didn't even have it, was doing a demo at Flagstaff, Arizona, and Brian Harper, Brad Stewart, and Carla Del Pecchio, if I'm pronouncing it right, they work for the Bear Cover, and we did a huge demo, and they're all, hey, we're going to the Snow Bowl, do you want to try snowboarding? And I was like, oh, I won one, but I don't have it there. Oh, we're at the Bear Cover. We have all the stuff you need. Let's go. So I went up, and Brad Stewart was my teacher, basic teacher. And
yep,
I pretty much got it and followed, you know, did the runs with him. And then I remember the one roller, this roller that kept jumping over. I was like, I wanted to do a frontside stiffy. So I did it. And I landed right on my butt, perfect transition, and still was holding the stiffy position. And they were all cracking up. But that was my introduction.
That was
right
your
there.
First day you're already going for air.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
soft snow. So
yeah. No, epic. That's
on,
epic.
On a basic note, that next season was 89.
Yeah.
And I took all my Swatch money that I made, and I did the Zele Rocky Mountain tour in Colorado.
Sick.
And at the end, I won the tour. Came out of nowhere because I, you know, the vertical roller skating, strapped in, anything that I tried to do on the snowboard, I was already doing it for years.
Easy.
It was natural.
Easy. Yeah.
I just needed to learn edge control.
Yep.
And I learned that from Andy Coughlin, Jack Coughlin, and Brian Delaney. They're the ones that really taught me how to turn and keep in rail. It was unreal.
That's so sick. So you score a Burton sponsorship at that point. You're like head to toe Burton, except Airwalk, right?
No,
Airwalk
I wasn't sponsored during that season, 89.
I mean the next season.
Yeah, so like right at the end of the season, I won the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
So John Husko, a guy I did skate demos for, actually became the Burton team manager.
Yeah, perfect.
And I told him, and he's like, would you like to ride for Burton? And I was like, well, yeah. You know, skateboarding's hurting me, so I'd love to try something else that hurt me.
You told me that the reason that Airwalks were so good was that they were taking input from everybody, like everyone on the Burton team or like anyone that would ride those Airwalk boots, and the roster was off the charts.
Well,
but they were listening to what you guys were saying.
Yeah, no, Airwalk was definitely athlete oriented. I mean, in the beginning, I'm kind of in the fog about it, but I think Tony Hawk was part like designer of the shoes.
I think you're right. I think he had a pro model on Airwalk at
but,
some point.
But like in the beginning, it was cool because when they made snowboard boots, you know, I was like, yeah, can I, you know, they hooked me up and they gave me a couple ads and everything was good. You know,
dude.
Fun, I should say. At the time, we didn't know what was going on. We were just having fun. You know?
Yeah. So does snowboarding take over for 10 years in there? Like,
yeah,
that
say
was your main
thing?
Right
at 89 when I won the tour and got sponsored by Burton, I stayed pro skating for maybe 1 year. I went to Europe skateboarding one more time, went to the World Championships.
Yeah.
Got second behind Brian again, you know?
I was like,
my first knee surgery came from doing a handrail on my skateboard. So like, I thought, you know, you're strapped in, it's safer. Little did I know it's not as safe as you think. But
you're going bigger and there's.
Yeah, but back then, bigger isn't that big as what the kids do today. I mean, it's insane.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I don't know all of the timeline, obviously.
Okay,
but,
no. But I can kind of fill in right there.
Right.
1990.
Yeah.
I'm riding for Burton. Paul Alden was the team manager then. John Husko was like the assistant, I think. He kind of faded out.
Yeah.
Did the American tour, whatever it was. I can't even remember what place I got on that tour, but I placed really good on a few things. With Burton going to the U.S. Open was like a really interesting story because like I was telling you earlier, it was like I got off the plane, they picked me up, and I'm like, hey, where's Brushy? Oh, he broke his finger in the pipe. And I'm like, what? And then, where's Jacoby? Oh, he got a concussion. He's in the hospital. And I'm like, what? Really nervous. And why'd that happen? Oh, it's very icy. And I've never experienced ice. I'm from, Colorado, California. So, hard packed, sometimes powder. Right. And I'm just still, second year into snowboarding. So I was really nervous. And I remember riding the half pipe at Stratton. And I maybe got an inch or two to at the top, but not even out because it was so icy. You could see the dirt through the wall. And I was like, God, I'm scared. This is gnarly. And the night before the contest, it dumped like 3 feet.
Oh, nice.
And I got up there as early as I can. I'm going to be the first person. But Craig was already walking up the middle of the pipe.
I love it.
And he turned around and looked at me. He goes, no way. Come on. So he took me up and, they cleaned the pipe and I practiced and I started getting like 3-4 feet out. And it was really fun. I got a good spread in the magazine. Transworld, and it said Jimmy Scott enjoys East Coast hospitality. I do remember that.
That's super sick.
And it had all the East Coasters, and then me. They were a little upset because my photo was big, and but it was cool. I mean, Stephen Hayes, Mike Hayes, all the East Coast guys. They were nothing but nice to me.
That's rad. That's super rad. So then, Bert Lamar must have approached you at some point and said, look, I'm
doing
this.
Well, that was a few years later. What it was is in 91, going to the U.S. Open, at some point, Jack Coughlin, Andy Coughlin, bailed Burton to go to this company called Apocalypse.
Oh, you did Apocalypse before... Okay, so did you get to meet Regis and everything?
Yeah, Regis Rowland, he said, if you're going to tell me how you want your snowboard, you're going to learn how to make it yourself. So he made me put my own rubber dampening in the core and the edges. And so he said, if you're going to tell me how you want it, you need to know how it's made.
Right, right.
So I was at the factory, and it was Albany, New York.
Yeah, somewhere in upstate New York.
Yeah, upstate New York.
Right.
And it was one of the greatest experiences, snowboard made.
Yeah,
I've seen skateboards made, but I've never seen a snowboard.
Did you get to choose your shape? Because it was an asym shape with a deep
heel sign. Everyone thought it was asymmetrical, and it wasn't.
It was a twin board with a weird nose and
I made
tail
the tip
shape.
And tail opposite, so it looks symmetrical, but it actually was a symmetrical snowboard.
I fucking love this.
No,
I nerved out on this shit. That's epic.
It was cool because we did it, and he showed me how to do it, and then I'd call him a few times. I got a side story for you on the
Please.
Board, but it was a great time. But then when we went to the U.S. Open that year, I not bragging and boasting, but I had won the Open, 1991, and on an Apocalypse snowboard. And the very next year, when I started touring, Apocalypse started kind of folding.
Yeah,
and they had me and Terry were the last two guys because Terry Kidwell rode, which that part of it alone, riding with Terry, like I remember going, I forget what resort, but I went from Terry, check this out.
Yeah,
went down and hit the side of this cat track, and I turn around, I look at Terry, and he passes a jump and goes all the way up the hillside and hits a stump and goes super huge, and I'm like, whoa, I guess there's more than what meets the eye, and you can do more.
Yeah,
like not just what you see, like a rut here and a rut there.
Yeah,
and it was unruly to ride with Terry Kidwell for a whole, you know, good season and a half.
And he was just the godfather of freestyle snowboarding.
Yeah, I was just like,
oozing style, unbelievable.
No, he was one of the ones that taught me how to ride too. Like, I mean, straight up, you know.
Yep.
A good crew, like Terry Kidwell, Craig Kelly, Kevin Delaney, Jack Coughlin, Andy Coughlin. Those guys were like, you have to learn how to ride your board, you know, and that's what I was like, such a gift to win a board and get to be in this new realm. And all of a sudden I win the US Open, and then very next year tour, apocalypse is folding. They're owing us money, you know, that we're supposed to be in paid.
Yes.
And at the end, I'm in the middle of the tour, like the pro tour, the world tour, the, you know, world championship tour.
Yeah.
And they can't pay anymore. And that's when Lamar approached me and said, hey, I'll finish out the tour, make you pro model, but you know, will you ride for me? And I was like, well, let's see, I'm $30,000 in debt on my credit card that Apocalypse wouldn't reimburse from the travels and stuff.
Yeah.
And of course I said yes. And then I got introduced to a whole new crew.
Was the money fairly good? Did Bert, like did he clear up your credit cards and start paying your checks?
I filed bankruptcy for it.
Yep. Wow.
I didn't put it on anybody. It was my own responsibility.
That's incredible, Jimmy. That's you know, yeah.
And it sucks to say that, but it's the truth.
That's you know? What you did.
I mean,
right.
I did. I sat there in court and this lady's like, all these washers and you know, stereos and all this stuff. And judge is like, no, click. And then they come up to me and I'm like, oh, I did this travel. I'm a pro athlete. I know that sounds
and
funny.
And my sponsors bailed.
And they pay it all reimbursed, and they're not reimbursing. If you look at the card, it says rental car, hotels, airplane.
None of this is frivolous. This is all
cleared.
Yeah.
I was stoked, you know, and then began a new journey. And I did. I won the world title that year.
Unfucking believable.
And like the worst part of it was a summer camp. I'm going to vertical roller skate like I used to. And I skated the ramp for a few weeks, got some really good shots.
Yeah.
And right at the middle of summer camp for, I want to say, can't think of the snowboard camp.
Was it at Black Home or was it at Hood?
Hood.
Then it was either Wendell's or Mount Hood, like the HSSTC or something like that.
No, it was the other one.
Oh, then it's and they're still going. It's,
I know. I'm sorry to run a blank for you.
High Cascade.
High Cascade, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And they had the ramp.
Yes, the ramps. So I was skating the Todd. I did an air, landed, and there was dust on the ramp, and I broke my ankle. Tib fib, outside dislocation.
Oh, shit.
I ended up with a pin and a plate.
And how expensive was that? Did you have insurance?
I had insurance,
good
of course.
For you.
You know, I was trying to be a smart athlete, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was groomed with Tracker and Tony Hawk.
There you go,
You know, I had Brian Ridgeway. You know, he was the most influential person. You know, he's the greatest because he was our team captain at Burton. And he always told me, be responsible no matter what goes on.
It's amazing.
Have insurance and pay your taxes.
What a great, you need that. You really do need that.
Especially when you're old.
Yeah, totally. So that's the heyday.
That kind of was the heyday.
Because Ice Age is great. And those guys are awesome and all that. But that Lamar team...
Oh, so
was
fun.
So dope. Zombo, you fucking Rankwit. Johnson. Oh my god.
Gilly.
Oh, Gilligan. Yeah. I've reached out to him. I'm gonna have Gilligan on the show.
Oh, I miss Gilligan. He was the coolest on the tour. Like I got to travel with
him. His style was so good, hey.
When we went to Japan one year, like that year, Rankwit and I forget who else it was, they trashed the whole way through. So the Japanese distributor sent him home, and then he turned to me and he goes, what would you like? And I said, well, I want a XL7, I think, or whatever, the video camera Sony.
Yeah.
And they bought it for me.
Oh my god.
Because we were good boys.
Yeah.
it was fun though. But then the next season, like I said, I broke my ankle during the summer, and then as I rolled into the next year, Bert was like, I don't want to have you competing this year. And I was like, why? You know, I was first, and what, I'm not going to come through this?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we don't know. And I was like, no, I still want to compete. So I think it was Gilligan that came with me on most of the competitions because it costs so much to send someone to a contest, one rider.
Right.
So he wanted to kind of fill it in.
You split the room and you split the car and you split the thing.
Yeah, so it was good and it was fun. But I finished second that year after a broken ankle.
Oh, fuck. Good
second
for you,
in the world.
Dude.
So I came back.
When was the Rob Gracie friendship forged?
I'd say 90. 91, I think. I met him and then moved in with him at Snowmass.
That's it. And you were one of the, so you were the first example to me of a photographer athlete relationship where he's making money taking pictures of you. You're making money getting his pictures published.
Oh, he's getting making money taking pictures of lots of people.
Right, but you and him were tighter. Like, you,
he used to let me edit all his photos, but he'd say, stack them right here, the ones that you don't like, and I'll go through them again.
Yeah,
and I did amazing. Pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the trick, right? Like Tina and Shannon would go to the headquarters at Transworld. Yeah, she's not here, but Shannon Dunn and Dave like moved where the magazines were, because if you had access to the photo editor and saying like, hey, maybe this one looks pretty good, you could get
more photos. Yeah,
you get more photos.
I never brown nosed my any way through my tour. I was always straightforward.
But you were friends with the dude, and dude was an amazing photographer.
Oh no, great Gracie!
It was so crazy.
He helped my career with a lot of photos that
so
I got.
Crazy that he was skiing and smoking darts.
Oh my god, he was with Hetzel. I guess the one story you probably should ask Hetzel about this. They went to Snowbird, and they got to the top of the tram, and they got out, and Gracie passed out. Like, got off the tram, took a few steps, passed out. And then when he woke up, he lit up a cigarette.
He passed out. But
from the altitude and being a smoker.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, being from sea level, even being up here. Like, the walk up these stairs is
I was sucking palm water when I hiked to the pipe
yesterday.
Oh, yeah,
right. That's when I saw you up there. So, did Ice Age buy you away from Lamar, or did something melt down at Lamar?
Kind of.
Bought you away at your prime.
Bird at the time, he even though I got like second after I broke my ankle and came back.
Yeah.
He didn't really want to send us on the whole tour.
Okay.
He didn't want to send a bunch of people. He didn't want to send one person. But Bert was great. I mean, he helped my career to the point. There's no doubt about it. But when I met Mike Madliner from Hawaii and then Michael Paz and Michael Botello. It was at a trade show, and it was really cool because when I went to the booth, Laird Hamilton's there.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to send you out of the trade show aloha style. And I'm all, what's that mean? And they said, whatever you see and you can carry and put around your head and neck, you can take out of here right now.
That's amazing.
So they were like throwing stuff like Lay's, but not Lay's, but it was like shirts and everything. And it was so fun. I was like, you know what? I'll think about it. And then I was like, well, they tripled my salary, which I told Mike not to do.
Sure.
And in the long run, it hurt him.
Right.
Because he got Tom Burt, too.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing.
Right, of course.
And it hurt NSU, but what really hurt NSU is they had a contract for all their sewing, snow as well as surf, in Hawaii Hawaiian company.
Yeah.
And they couldn't fulfill the orders. So he came to the States to have another sewing company fulfill the orders, help fulfill, and the company in Hawaii sued him for doing that.
Wow, no,
and
I
that's
didn't know
why
that.
NSU failed because he got sued.
Yeah, because on the North Shore, NSU, like the surf gear, was going off.
Oh, I know. When I'd go to Japan, like in between, I'd stop in Aquila Ipa would take me out anywhere pretty much.
Jesus.
Gavin Sutherland. I mean, these guys were like saints to me. Like I'm surfing where I want to surf, you know, surf pipe, you know, hey, this is Jimmy, let him get a wave. And of course they picked the worst one. You got it. And he says, if they say go, you go. And of course, you know, I slam and, you know, never got hurt, but definitely, you know, growing up, I've been surfing since I was seven. So I was like, this is a fantasy.
Yeah.
Riding for NSU.
Yeah.
You know, which was Ice Age.
Yeah.
And we would, they'd route. I'm going to Japan. I'd stop in Hawaii, fly to Japan, and then come back to Hawaii and then go to wherever I'm at.
What a dream.
Yeah, it was really cool for a while. But then when Mike got hit, you know, Madliner and Paz really hard, it was hard for them. And then the Japanese took over the Ice Age part of it.
Yep.
As NSU folded.
Right.
And that's where the kind of the drama began.
Of course.
Because Botello ended up being our team captain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese were paying me and Tom Bird a certain amount. Am I allowed to tell the truth?
Yeah. That's the whole reason we're here.
I'm sorry, Botello. I love you, dude, but it was wrong what you did. You know, he got our checks, and he skimmed them, and then I was like, I'm not supposed to be paid this much. Oh, don't worry, it's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. And then I got a call from Oishi, the main guy in Japan. And I just blurted it out. Why aren't I getting paid what we talked about? What I signed for?
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
No way.
That doesn't make sense. And a week later, I flew to Japan, kind of spilled the beans, and they fired Botello, kept me, and... Tom Burt was owed a lot of money too.
Money,
and to me, I'm all, he's one of my mentors.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's getting screwed.
Fuck that shit. Yeah, I mean, it. Yeah, I don't want to badmouth Botello.
No, no, I love Botello.
You're not
still
badmouthing him. It's just what happened. Happened.
It's just telling history how it was. Yeah. I can't BS the whole way. You know, yeah, you got to tell some truth. Wow,
any seasons in Tahoe?
No, but Don Bostic was here, and I did an event.
Yeah.
With I built the course and it was right there. Like right there.
Yeah.
And Michael Bassich won.
Mikey B.
Tina's brother. I forget what we had. We had like a couple jumps and a big grinder, you know, like something to rail slide and then quarter pipes at the end. It was like three different hits.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I came here.
What sponsor were you on at that point? Is that early, still like Burton days, or was that more like?
I think it was Lamar.
Lamar.
I think.
A lot of cool things would have happened while you're on Lamar, right?
Yeah, he created so many good opportunities.
Yeah.
Burt was, you know, I guess in the history that I know, Burt's the one that helped everyone get salaries.
Right.
With Craig.
Sure.
You know, he said, no, I want to be paid more.
Well, I think what I've heard here is Burt showed up to compete in the world championships because he knew he could get a sponsorship because he's like the snowboarding thing where they're at right now.
Yeah.
I probably could do that in a day. And he could. And he hiked the pipe and didn't train any gates. He did terrible in the race, but he won the half pipe world championship.
No, that was one of my things he told me. He's like, focus on one event.
Mm.
That way you can do it. Because I was when I was on Burton and even Apocalypse a little bit. I did some racing, but very out of, you know, fish out of water.
Yeah,
know?
Sure.
That's where like Kevin Delaney and the Coghlans are like, you need to learn how to ride your edges, dude.
Right.
You can't slide around.
Right. You know? But in the half pipe, you're difficult to beat. Like I know you, the guys that you're competing against, Palmer, Craig, the whole Burton team.
Well,
like
with the
you
one.
You were technically getting the points. You knew how to compete.
Well, Craig taught me that.
Yeah.
He said, you know, be methodical. Like, you know, the coolest thing is that guy right there, Chantry, you know, I change your runs up. Don't make it the same all the time.
Right.
And some people couldn't do that. They couldn't just take a trick over here and then put it over there.
No, of course.
And I was good at it.
Yeah.
And
you've got your run laid out and you've got this leads to this leads to this leads to this,
but then you're like, okay, I did that, I got good points, now I need to change it so the judges notice, because that's a big thing. If they see the same run, it's repetition, and it's kind of like you know, and that's where I gain points because I could always change it up.
There's all sorts of competition things that I've seen, like just being in contact with the competition people that are running it. You know, throwing your arms up at the end of a run could really affect the judges going like, what did I miss?
Well, like with Craig, you know, being on Burton was so honorable. Like he was like definitely everybody's mentor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that first year in 90, that summer, you know, he gave me a job at his camp.
Sick.
Checking out snowboards for his campers.
Yeah.
And then I could go up and dig pipe with him.
Yeah.
And ride the pipe. And then I'd have to leave at a certain time to go down and check the camper's equipment back in.
So you learned how to dig pipe from Craig Kelly?
Yes. 100%.
He showed you this is where we start.
Not only that, he showed me how to be a true professional.
Mm.
You know, just, you know, you don't step on anybody to get ahead. You just do what you can.
Yeah.
But you don't back down. You don't brown nose.
Yeah.
You know, and some people like that and some people didn't. And when I got into I want to be a world champion, that's where I got my, you know, where people didn't like me. You know, we're friends. It's day of competition. I don't care.
Right.
I want to win.
Right.
You know, I'm being paid. Like when I went to the one US Open and did a McTwist in the competition, Lamar lit me up because it's illegal. I got disqualified.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing is Brian Iguchi did it too, got disqualified.
Yeah.
Jeff Davis did it too, got disqualified.
Sick.
And Jake came up to me after the contest and he said, us basically, and said, I'm so sorry. That was so beautiful. I'll see what I can do with insurance for the next year.
Sick.
And we got it.
That's it. That's awesome.
You know, and there's all kinds of like, different blips here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Time frame, I'm kind of foggy. I wonder why. time where we lived.
But. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, competing was your thing though, right? Like you.
Yeah,
go to the free ride side of things at any point.
Loved a free ride when I could, but it was everyone. You know, it's a powder day. Don't get stuck. Just like yesterday, digging pipe with Jimmy Scott. it's always been the same way. But yeah, when Lamar put me on the helicopter and in the, his video drive,
yep.
It was one of the greatest days of my life.
Cool.
And I never jumped or anything. I just went fast. I rode Rankwood's board because it's a big board.
Yeah.
Rode better in the powder.
Yep.
And I did. I felt like I was on hallucinogenics when I finished.
Nice.
You know, it was like, oh my God, that was a whole day of just unreal. Like I didn't know that powder was like that. I knew it from resorts where you dip out into the trees, but
yeah.
When the helicopter drops you off and everyone's low and it flies away and you look for miles and you see nothing, I get excited. It was the greatest.
How was Rankwit as a teammate at that time? Like, did he have your back at contests and stuff? Yeah, traveling as a team?
He would compete, but I'd say Rankwit was, he was just too much fun.
Yeah.
He wouldn't unload the, let's compete and be serious. He'd be just like, let's have fun. You know?
Yeah.
And there's some good video. If you watch the Lamar videos, you can see Rankwit and us on the train.
On the train.
Yeah. Like he's wasted.
He's
on the,
so wasted.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we all were kind of, you know, that's why we're having so much fun, but he was great. And I think he went to GNS, if I remember right.
I think GNS was before. It was GNS before Rank. Where did he go? 5150.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He went to 5150, which
because
got bought by Ride.
GNS was at the same factory, and it was Henry Hester doing it.
Yeah,
and that's right. I see Henry all the time, and he always says,
I think Henry's coming up here.
Is Henry coming?
Is Henry up here, you guys? Henry Hester? No.
No.
He's afraid to challenge me.
There was a rumor, but yeah. And Henry was one of those 70s skaters.
Well, I did the Hester series.
The Hester series.
I did skating.
Legend.
And he always told me, he's like, man, because his boards and our boards, Apocalypse, were made in the same factory.
Sick.
And he was trying to get me.
That's where
And
they
he's
were
like,
made.
Oh, you and Rankwood, it would have been great advertisement.
Yeah.
A good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah, you could have done. Yeah, that's actually good. Like, actual, like, smart marketing.
I wasn't as good as everyone thought, but, you know.
Of course. Yeah, you had the California image. It was the roller skating. People just couldn't get over the roller skating. It just seems like a bygone era when really there was competitive roller skating right alongside skateboarding, like you said,
Until the Castle Series and ASPO, Associated Skate Park Owners.
Yeah.
You know, I did all that and it was fun. I mean, Fred Blood, you know, he did the 540 first.
What a sick name, dude. That's just a badass name.
ABC Sports took it to a height and then quit skating and started BMXing. What a blow to the vertical roller skating community.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's what happened, right? Is that pretty much everybody that became a skater or a skateboarder or a BMX guy?
He was great. Fred's always been nice when I ever got to meet him a few times. Duke Renning was pretty much my teacher, and then Jamie Ede.
These are all names I don't know.
They're part of history. I mean, Duke still skates. I'm so jealous of everybody because I've had some surgeries that keep me from skating.
Mm,
You know, I've had, you know, 4 knee surgeries, broken ankle, pin plate, broken elbow. I just recently, it kind of sucks to even say in truth, but 3 years ago, four years ago, I had a hip replacement and then came up here 2 years ago. And then in the middle of that time, broke my calcaneus, which is your ankle bone. And I was on crutches for 6 months.
Oof.
And then by all my weight being on one side, I had to have another hip surgery. So I have 2 prosthetic hips. And
damn.
All I know is I'm lucky I can still surf with my kids. And I can still rail my board, which is like, that is the funnest thing still. I'm like catching air. I don't know. And, you know.
There's consequences now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's as nuts. You get older, it catches up. That's for sure.
Does anyone have a bead on Evan Fien's age? So Evan Fien's in his 60s, pretty sure.
I'm 55.
And he hit that his line is right there under the chair. It's a solid Hawaiian 20-foot cliff. It's probably 50 feet.
When did you do that?
Yesterday.
Awesome.
It was the raddest shit I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. Evan Feen,
oh, no,
40 years into snowboarding, hitting a 40-foot
Founders,
cliff.
They can pull it out of their back pocket when they want to.
It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, you were, in my history of it, in my head, you were like a competitor's competitor in, or the anti-competitor's competitor in snowboard halfpipe. Like, people just didn't want you to win. They just wanted to take you down. I remember Terrier says, Jimmy, I'm going to do everything that you do, but 5 feet bigger or whatever. Like, he wanted to mess with you.
No, I think at that point in my career, it was, you know, it was fun to always be at the events, but if you were there and you're not going out tonight, no, because I really want to win. Like, that's, if you're there to compete, this is what Craig said. If you're there to compete, make your mind up. Are you there to hang out with your friends, or are you there to compete?
Right.
And I took the path. I want to be a path of competitor, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, got me a lot of shit, you know?
Bit of hate. Yeah.
You know, sorry to cuss. I just, it's.
No, it's called the fucking Rad Snowboard Podcast.
Okay, cool. So we're even better. Good. Yeah. No, but I wanted to, because I, you know, once I won the world title the first time, and then I broke myself.
Yeah, yeah.
All I said to myself was, I just like to come back to the level when I broke myself. I'm not trying to prove better or anything.
Sure.
And I kept going.
And the progression every year was crazy, right? Like, so you're trying to keep up with the progression of tricks. The pipes are getting bigger. The tricks are getting bigger, more technical.
Well, it was kind of an odd moment in 94, 95, 96. Like, it was, because I'm like, not winning as much, but I'm still in the top five, you know, so I think I can do it. And then the U.S. Open, I think it was 96. I won it again.
Damn. Oh, yeah. It was, you were on Ice Age and the whole team was just celebrating. Like, fuck, he just won the Open.
My greatest story of my superhero is Botello. It stood toe-to-toe with Palmer.
Yeah.
Palmer wasn't happy about it.
Of course.
And, you know.
Yeah, what was it like to compete against Palmer when you're doing 12 hits, three hits.
Yeah, but I'm trying to learn from him, but I still want to be like what Craig said, do as much as you can.
Yeah.
And then I started kind of changing a little bit, trying to go a little bit bigger, but I still found myself more technical.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I'd go big, like when
I'll put it in there. I'll take a picture of that inside poster of the thing. That's a solid... There's a solid air in a 12-foot pipe in 1995 or something.
Yeah, it's just...
It's dope.
It was fun. I mean, it's still fun snowboarding, which makes it really cool, like surfing.
Yeah.
I mean, I go to the pump track with my son on a skateboard, but I go really mellow. But be able to still do it at my age with my injuries. If I had no injuries, I'm sure I'd be doing hand plants and,
sure,
you know, different things, or even trying. But like, I think in my head, don't get hurt.
Can you believe
this? You got three kids.
Terrier and... Todd Richards are still doing McTwists.
No, I'm still so jealous. You have no idea.
Yeah, yeah, it's no epic, idea. Right? It's epic. It's the longevity thing happened while we were in it. Like,
but they've never. Todd blew his elbow up.
Did he?
Yeah, he had all those pins in it.
Mm,
but Terry has never blown his body up.
He was injured. He was injured a lot in the late '90s, but not in a way that was public. You know what I mean?
Like,
He was rehabbing injuries that, you know, were
not made public.
Not made public.
But it's really interesting, if you think about this, is all the athletes in the last, I'd say, 10 years, if they get hurt, the media makes a big thing about it. But when we got hurt, they just kind of brushed us aside.
There were a couple of main players that got hurt, like Cersei Wallace got hurt, and then she just got dropped from the team. And she said, fuck that. I got hurt at work. When you're at work and you get hurt, you can't get fired for that shit. So
she sued and won. Well, it was different back then.
Yeah, she sued and won. But yeah, now I'm thinking of someone like Mark McMorris. There's actually the Red Bull. One of the big things about being a Red Bull athlete is that you've got this rehabilitation center they send you to strength training and get you right back out there.
Glad we got all that going for him in the beginning.
Yeah, which is like, you know, I look at it and I'm like, that's borderline, you know, like torture or something. Like, I'm sure that they give them PTSD therapy and everything, right? Like, so you get back out there with that mindset and go.
When I got
again.
Hurt, I had Barry Zaritsky, who, like, Tony Hawk's knee when he blew it up, and he went to Hawaii and it kept catching, and he came home and he got surgery.
Yeah,
and I blew my knee up. I went to Barry because I had a contest in, I think it was Savannah Slamma.
Oh, I remember that one.
And I couldn't ollie. And I said, hey, Barry, my doctor said it's my hamstring. And he said, sit on the table. And he grabbed my knee and he goes, it's not your hamstring. That's your ACL. You don't have it anymore.
Oh, gross.
So I hired Barry to be my trainer.
That's amazing.
I actually went to the Bahamas to his house.
Killer.
And did 2 weeks there. You went to there?
Yeah.
Wasn't it cool? Fishing every day? Oh my God. It was a dream come true. I took one of my best friends because he blew out his toe. I know it sounds funny, but it was a back injury toe. It's
yeah,
weird. But
yeah,
he went with me, and I got crazy stories about that time because we hung out with Lenny Kravitz, drummer, and
oh, wow,
all kinds of stuff. It was really a cool thing, you know. But what Barry told me is like, if you get hurt and you want to come back to whatever level you're at,
yeah,
you gotta be serious. And it's really cool to see the kids these days, like now, they are that serious.
Oh, hell yeah.
And when I was doing it, people would joke, you know, like it wasn't, you're being too serious. And I still wanted to win.
Right, right.
You know, I want to win.
Yeah, because you're competing against guys that didn't sleep last night.
Yeah.
And they're getting close. They're like, sometimes you're getting beat by somebody that is high as fuck, drunk all night, and still winning. You know,
no, like, so it makes you sad, you know, when you think back about it, you know,
yeah.
A lot of us in the early snowboard industry, like I think I was, I would call it second gen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you are.
I think that's what it'd be. Second gen really molded what came out the third gen with Sean White.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the Playboy contest at Snow Summit. Jameel, you know, he won. I didn't. There's a lot of back and forth about who should have won. I was pretty pissed. So I went down to the bar and had a few beers. And all of a sudden, Mrs. White's tugging on my shirt. Can you come up to the pipe and teach Sean a McTwist? And I was like, I don't know. I've had a few beers, you know. And I was like, I'll do it. And I went up and I taught him a McTwist, Rob Kingwell McTwist, JF Pelchek the McTwist, and Trevor Andrew, all on
whoa,
a wall that was
wow,
maybe this big.
Trevor Andrew's McTwist,
oh, God,
is
and then
legendary.
He took it. Oh, dude, he went
legend,
so big.
Still now.
He did it like Christian did. He just went up and kept going up.
Yeah. It's unreal.
But it's a fact.
Yeah.
Anyone can argue it's not me. It's a fact.
That was, yeah, you were the McTwist.
The coolest
coach,
thing is
teacher.
Sean White in his snowboard interview with his, when he's really tiny at Mount Hood,
yep,
doing the McTwist and the frame by frame, he gave me credit for teaching him.
Sick.
But he also said, well, he was kind of drunk.
That's amazing.
But his mom got me in the bar. I didn't want to go back up.
And
the
so
hill.
That's like a rare instance too. Like you're not getting drunk at all these events, are you?
No way. No,
that's
I was just,
amazing.
I won, but
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah.
So I was pissed.
Yeah.
You know, that was my mentality at that point.
I get it.
You know,
it's
tough
if you're a competitor, I'd imagine, to.
Yeah, you never know.
The nuances of the judging. Like I remember people with the judging sucks, you know, written on the bottom of their board or.
I've won contests that I know I shouldn't have won.
Sure.
And I've lost contests that I know in my heart I should have won.
Right.
You know, and that's just how it is. When you're being judged, you're open to just people's opinions.
That's a
judge's opinions.
He's looking over at Chantry right now in Bostitch. These, that's a clip. That was the clip. I've never heard that quote by anyone. Like I've won contests that I shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
That's a big admission, but like that goes to show you that the judging is organic. It's, if it was always one way, if you always won contests that you shouldn't have won, you know what I mean? And you never get robbed.
It's also because of like how the sponsors run you, you know, like if they're doing 20 ads of you.
Remember the brushy,
the
brushy Palmer switch? Is that what it was? Palmer put on Brushy's gear and scored higher as Brushy.
Oh, I remember.
Than Brushy scored as Palmer.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were
testing
Chantry the judging. I think
Chantry and whoever else was there was kind of mad about that.
Yeah. Were you mad about that?
What?
Palmer running Brushy's gear. They switched gears to try and test the judging. That was what they were saying.
You cheater.
They have completely different styles.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Clothes, you know, mask, whatever.
Right.
The style is there. You can't
really cover that up. Joel Gomez just walked in. Hey, Joel. Right on. The Legends of Tahoe. Okay, Jimmy, let's.
Could I go one more?
Of course you can.
1999, I won the X Games.
Jesus.
And the year before, I didn't qualify.
Right.
argued with Don over there.
Yeah.
I should have made it.
Right, you know? Right.
But it was really cool because in the judging format, because you were talking judging, that's what brought it up.
Yeah.
What I see today in the difference is the judging format in the X Games that I won was 3 runs, 2 runs combined. And what it showed is a consistency of the athlete.
Right.
Where now it's like your best run.
Yes.
And I still think, like with Ross Powers, he'd always be consistent. You know, it's that's how I think judging should be. That should still be 3 runs, but 2 runs combined.
Right.
Because it really shows the athletes doing it over and over, not just a miracle run.
The miracle run is the risk factor, right? Like, so you're pushing your athlete to try shit that is maybe outside of their comfort zone.
Totally.
Because they could have a Hail Mary and win.
Yeah.
Whereas the consistency thing, there's an argument to be made there, and I think you just made it, that it's like, we're trying to find the guy who's the best. So Terrier said it when I interviewed him. He said the best contests weren't the Olympics, obviously, because he didn't go to the Olympics, but he's like, the best contests were when everybody was there and nobody was hurt. Like, so if you're going against Jimmy and Craig and like just all the competitor guys, Sean and everyone, and nobody's hurt and Brush and just, you know what I mean? Like that he wanted to win the contest where everybody was on their best.
Well, yeah.
And let's see who's the everybody, fucking
if you
best.
Were on, if you're on top of your game,
yeah,
that's how you felt.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be given it. Like I said, I've won contests I shouldn't have.
You don't want to win because somebody broke their arm or something that was beating you. You want to win the contest because you're that good.
But, I mean, if you're that good and you fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you're not that good, right?
Well, no, it's just like was your random run that you fell and the other guy didn't fall and he got the points and you didn't.
Right.
And he was consistent. I mean, Terrier, two contests with Terrier that I remember really good in my mind was Zizertal, Italy, and Breckenridge. And both of them, you know, that's where I was like trying to go as big as I could.
Yeah.
And Terrier went big and landed on the deck and belly flopped in both contests, backside method air.
Oh, wow.
And I won them.
Yeah.
I won those events. And then I took the world championships at the last one. And in the magazine, Terrier like quoted, you can't be world championship or world champion unless you go above the lip. And John Foster wrote, I guess he didn't see this. And he printed a picture and I was like 8-9 feet out at Breckenridge doing a big method. And that's where like, there's some bitterness, but Terry Hawkinson is one of my idols and friends.
Yeah. That rivalry, like, cause you didn't just have it with Terry, you had it with everybody.
Oh, Brushy, like,
Palmer,
Keith Wallace. Yeah. I mean,
Palmer told me one time that you like did the jinx thing. Like, you're going to fall, Palmer, like that right when he was dropping in. And it made him so mad.
Oh, you know what I mean? No, hey.
Yeah.
Palmer's, he's an animal. He's the best in a lot of sports. And when I look back, I should have had a lot more respect for Palmer.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And tried to learn more from him.
Right.
But instead, I kind of set on the Craig Kelly path.
Yeah.
You know, but it was all right.
Kind of a hybrid of like Craig, plus you could talk the shit.
Whether Palmer believes it or not, he was one of my teachers.
Of course.
You know, like and mentor. And, you know,
it's of course.
Nothing but fun in all those competitions, that's for sure.
Except
for the Olympic competition when, I mean, there was a lot of.
So you got to the Olympics. You made the Olympic team. No, you didn't. Let's tell this story because this is crazy.
The year before the Olympics, jumped off ISF and went to FIS.
Yeah.
And
that's going to put you on Terrier's radar, by the way, because he's saying,
I know he peed on the Olympic rings. I remember.
Right. Exactly.
So this is going to hurt to tell this one. I got America a spot and Ross Powers got America a spot.
What does that mean?
That means that you have so many people at each contest being in the top 10 or 5 or whatever it is from America. However many are in there is how many guys get to go.
So if America boycotted the FIS, then they wouldn't have had a spot at the Olympics if you guys would have stayed at ISF.
So Ross Powers, me and Dan, we got America the globe, the glass globe for the FIS. And I don't know the exact number, but I guess the Skiing Federation.
Yeah.
They haven't had one with skiing in like 8 years or 10 years.
So what's the globe? That means your top three guys.
We won. 1, 2, 3. America won.
Yeah.
And the globe's in Salt Lake City. You can see it with the year and all that on it.
That's it.
So the next year you got to keep the spot going with the points.
Yep.
So I went, Ross went, Dan went, we all went to Europe, you know, right away. And in the middle of going to there, the ISF sued the FIS that this isn't fair, that your organization gets to go and all these guys in this organization don't get to go.
Yeah.
So we would like to do Grand Prix. And the Grand Prix contests were kind of crazy and kind of gnarly because I had to skip tour to do these contests.
So this is a mixed contest of FIS,
yes.
ISF.
Yes.
Where FIS is going, well, if you can follow our rules, then we can, and you can have sanctioned
like
events.
So what ended up happening is they did the Grand Prix. And I got America's spot, and should have went. Kind of got cheated.
Mm-hmm.
But the last event in calculation, all I needed was to get 15th place. And I had a clean run. I went for 720, landed 540, but didn't fall, improvised, finished my run clean. And a good friend of mine who's doesn't live anymore, a great guy, Jeff Anderson, he fell second or third hit, and people reached down in the middle of the half pipe, pulled him up. He continued his run. I got 16th place. I think he got 14th. And when I went to protest on the stand, they wouldn't let me do it because my team, they said, your team manager has to do this. This is an Olympic deal. And my team manager was out free riding. Thanks, Botello. And it really, when I went back to my room, there was a lot of people that didn't make the team. And it was like a hallway of crying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal.
It hurt.
That's a big deal. So you went all the way there. You went all the way there.
Oh yeah,
and then missed it by.
And it sucks because I love Jeff, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But to even say it, it's like I have.
Yeah, and it's not his fault, and it's not the judging fault. It's not the thing. It's the situation.
Truth
is such that you could have gone
Olympic year,
the first Olympics,
and then I think
it would have been a different deal.
It was a contest in Europe, like right after the Olympics.
Yeah,
I won. I beat Guillaume, who got the gold medal.
Right, right.
You know, Daniel.
He came out of kind of nowhere, really.
Todd didn't go to Europe.
Yeah, Todd falling. Yeah, Todd falling was like,
and Daniel Frank got third, and I won. I won the event.
Yeah,
and I was pissed because I didn't get to go.
Of course,
and. That's really...
It's also the nature of contests, right?
Yeah.
And competition is that...
But you're not supposed to pick someone up.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what made me so mad. And when I went to get my team manager, he's out free riding powder. And I'm like, what do you do?
What do you do? It's such a frustrating thing.
You gotta take it.
It's the most frustrating thing. So, yeah. I mean, 98 until now, it's 26 years of fucking... harboring that pain. I'm glad that you got to put it out there.
It's just truth, you know.
That's a fucking hard thing to deal with.
Well, better than my X Games gold medal or my world championships.
Yeah.
Is having my kids.
Yeah.
Getting married and watching them cheer for me come down the hill and knowing that, you know, whatever they want to do is next. And that really is the best trophy you can have as a family.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'll do my best to uphold it. You know, you can't be a perfect husband all the time, you know?
Oh God, no. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's sick, dude. That's super sick. What event did you win in 99? Halfpipe?
Oh, Don Bostic's event, the X Games.
Unfucking believable.
And everyone wanted me out. You've been in this too long. And I won. And then I went to, what was it? I think it was not Vermont, but Okemo, I think. I won that event. And then I went to Canada. And they took five of us to the finals.
Yeah.
And I was in first. I want to say
Michael Chuck.
No.
One
of the Canadians. He's so good.
Derek Height. There's Alan Clark.
No, pipe rider. Marcus Morissette. No. It might have been. I don't know, but I scored first in the qualifier.
Yeah.
And my first run, I did a backside McTwist, frontside McTwist.
Shit.
720 to 720. And when I landed the second 720, landed perfect. And I blew out my other knee.
Oh, God.
And that was the end of my career.
And that was it.
Yeah.
You went out on a fucking.
I told Ted when I stopped, because I stopped, I stood up.
Yeah.
And then I sat down, I unbuckled and sat on the board and went down.
Yeah.
And Ted said, what's wrong? It looked like you just stopped.
Yeah.
Because I did. I landed and then just.
Yeah.
And I stood up and I'm like, something's really wrong. And I wrote down, and I told Teddy, he goes, did you hear a pop? And I go, so much. He goes, you blew your knee out. Ugh. And then I still got, I think, third place for my run.
Right.
And I was on the podium with crutches. But that was like the last big contest that I did. And then the last big one after that, laughter came back, was the Vans, where Todd won.
Those were sick.
And Sean White got second.
Nice.
Todd was 30. Yep. And Sean was like 15 or 14.
Yeah, that's epic.
Twice his age. So that's when the new came in. Like, that's when it really started.
That was the end of it. That was the end of the legend.
I broke my board.
Era.
Brian Harper let me use his board, and he was judging. And, you know,
Harper was on that Lamar team with you, too.
No, that's what made it really fun.
Amazing dudes. Wow, Jimmy, you've had a
There's a blip of history for you.
That was really, really sweet, dude. Thank you for doing the show.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope I didn't hurt anybody. You know,
It's only Botello, and he, you know what? Even if
I love Botello still.
Yeah,
man.
I love him too. He is a character of that snowboard era.
I know.
That is just, he's a legend. He got, remember when we were on the Ice Age team and he got one of the ads? There was like,
what's five ads? It said something like, if you get my answer machine, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And it was like a burger shot of him, just like big turn in some trees somewhere.
Yeah.
I love those days because for me, I was a pretend pro. I didn't have any of what you just were talking about. I wanted a party. And I wanted to get in the magazines, want to do
the
work. The
people on top still partied. Terry partied, I partied. It's not like...
But you guys had like some professional background. You know, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Riding with you. Warrior, you want to win.
Yeah. And one of my favorite memories was on that Bend trip. Frank Osborne and I realized there was a roller skating rink, like an ice rink that had... It was cement, right?
Yeah, I thought it was an ice skating rink because Gilly was good at hockey and he had to wear ice skating or figure skating things and he kept catching him falling.
We might have done it a couple of times. This one, I remember we were on roller skates and I was like, I didn't know how to roller skate at all. I needed the cage almost. And then you were doing some shit that was just like flat ground tricks, skates opposite each other, flips around that we were just like, that's impossible.
What is it? The quote is, why was it so good at that time? It's because we were young.
That's it.
I think that's from Biloxi Blues.
Love it. Thanks, you know. Jimmy.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
That was epic. Yeah, we did an hour there. That was great. F and Rad shout outs to Jimmy Scott and his family. It was great to meet you guys at the Legends event. Special thanks to Mike Chantry and Don Bostick for putting on the event. Go watch the N-Men documentary on YouTube right now for more about those two legends. Thanks to Bass, Fulton, Angie, El Jefe, and Alan for letting me crash their party and stay with them in beautiful Donner Lake. That was seriously so rad. And thank you to everyone who came up and said hi at the Donner event. Nice to meet all of you. The Patreon supporters make it possible for me to do this. And the sponsors have kept me from having to have a job for 8 months now. Be sure to come back next week for another episode of F and Rad Snowboarding, presented by Skyview Campers and brought to you by F and Rad Productions.